Fred Film Radio, South by Southwest, Austin, Texas.
Fred Film Radio, this is Dana Knight from South by Southwest. I'm here with Juliette Lewis talking about her new role in the film Kelly and Kel. So, Juliette, how did you prepare for the role and what did you do to get the chemistry going between you and Johnny Weston? The performances were outstanding, by the way.
This was a really important thing, Jen knows. I knew, especially just in what I like to work with. And one thing is you can audition actors and see them on tape or in a room, but I knew it was really important that I sit across from one of these guys that were auditioning. And we had huge shoes to fill, in the sense you need someone, A, of age, that can then be a teenager, that has all this range of emotion, and that who can be opposite me, be present, and dominate the scenes. And so my big thing, and I kept telling Jay, I was like, he's got to dominate, you know, I don't believe it, you know, not from him. But so when Johnny came in the room when we were auditioning, he reminded me, and I'm not told him this, I don't know that I'm going to tell you guys this, but he just reminded me of early on in my earlier career, friends of mine who were coming up, when I had the job, and then so-and-so came in the room, and they have this X factor that you can't describe. And it was really exciting to see that kind of electricity. And I don't know why Johnny and I had chemistry, but all I know is that he could hold his own, and he could fill Cal's shoes, because it's the part, it's a dream part for any actor to play. I loved Cal so much. You'd see me. Of Cal, and you could see me playing Cal. I was really challenged by trying to show a more insular, quiet, focused, this imploding kind of despair, or a slight despair. I don't know, this other thing in Kelly was really challenging for me, really close to my heart too, because I've gone through those colors.
What acting instructions, if any, did you receive from Jen?
Do less. Because you have to ultimately trust the audience that they're going to allow you to have the quiet, and then the shift. You know, she has this sexual frustration in the beginning. She has then this shift, and then she's slowly, even when she turns into a color of Cal, like they could hang, you know, after she hangs out with her girlfriends and then they're like drinking beer together. It's so like goofy, like, but they're not broad strokes. When I say goofy, she's like acting like a juvenile slightly. It's uncomfortable, I hope.
You have a history of working with female directors. How was this experience for you in the past and now?
I've had the privilege now of working with a few female directors. And I worked with Kat Candler right after this, who just did Hellion, and that's here. But before that, I worked with Mira Nair and Catherine Bigelow, who won the Oscar, a couple years ago. And I didn't notice any, Catherine Bigelow was tough in this other sense. You know, there's takes. Some people like to do lots of takes. Some people move quickly. You know, they were all just filmmakers. Anyway, I couldn't give you a generality.
You wrote some beautiful songs for this film. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we're not from that niche world. I mean, but the fact that it was tipping its hat to that world was really awesome. And as a songwriter, it was fun to write songs in a character. So Jen gave me direction of what type the song, we referenced PJ Harvey's To Bring You My Love. And yes, I had my PJ Harvey albums. Sleater-Kinney, I wasn't so versed in. I just heard a few songs. I know they were an amazing band. So to write in that vein, it was so fun. The quiet, loud structure. But also to make it really sexy and brooding, and something that I wanted to actually make it a good song that you like to hear, so.
The song at the end is really beautiful, if a bit sad.
Came out of the sky, so I have to say I wrote it with my old guitar player, a guy named Clint Walsh, who's like toured with CeeLo and was in this scary band called The Dwarves.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They do crazy stuff on stage. I probably wouldn't approve. But anyway, we wrote these songs. He was just brilliant. We didn't even know. We wrote these songs within an hour and a half. And the last song that's called Change literally came out of the sky. He was just playing in my living room, and I said, keep playing that. What is that? And I heard this beautiful melody, and it had all the things that I want to be left with after she comes through this dark path, or not dark path, but comes through this transition, and there's hope, and there's light, but you're letting go, so there's loss, and I know it.
How did you find your character in this film? Was there something in Kelly's actions that you found difficult to understand?
I still don't fully understand it. Oh, no.
You do.
I do now. And this is what's amazing about acting in this process. Sometimes the one thing that you cannot intellectualize, you cannot understand it, you just have to put yourself in the path of it and commit. That's when you have nothing else. In life, or you don't know how to understand it. You just do it. And this was the scene where she breaks up with him, and then she disrobes. I forever was like, why did she do that? And I was judging her hard. Like, why did she fucking do that? And it's so wrong. And I only could put it in a really destructive context. And she always saw it in that there was something beautiful about it. I could not. And now when I watch it...
When you saw it, you're like...
It's the film.
Oh, I get it.
To me, those two looking at each other through windows and they can't be together, that's the film to me. And there's this beauty, even though that's so fucked up, what she's doing. Isn't that weird?
I was a bit surprised earlier when you said it was hard to get into Kelly's character because you are a musician too and I see some similarities there.
When I say hard, it's the hardest... To show something that's the closest to you, it's you're going to reveal a kind of quiet and intimacy I haven't shown, but that I've lived in. So I've lived in this type of disillusionment that Kelly's finding herself in or navigating or figuring out or the loss of hope or the melancholia. It's looking in the past, nostalgia, being chained to the promise of the past and knowing you can never live there. You will never succeed. And also the selfishness. You know, these are qualities in myself I try to work out. I mean, if I could just join a convent. No, I really...
That would be a crazy convent.
Well, no, I mean, the convent, I love people that can be so... on purpose, like the discipline of soldiers and athletes and religious folk. I don't know. But the point is this irresponsibility that she has and the selfishness that to me, you're just like, you want to shake her, but it's very real. And so for me to honor that truth takes a sense of courage, trust in my director that she'll take me there, and trust in the material and the audience that I don't have to show you why, just honor it. And it's what I liked about the script. I like that she's kind of fucked up. We don't often see a mother behaving so like, ooh, like in her new motherhoodness. But I have so many friends that have babies and they're still who they are and they're questioning, why am I not this way? And I'm no, and they beat themselves up internally. So there's a lot of that and then acting out. So all that struggle was really difficult, but I'm kind of masochistic in my work anyway, so if it was an easy walk, I don't know what I would do.
If you hadn't taken up acting as a career, what would you do?
I would go into energy work. I literally just said this the other day to somebody. I was like, he's like, why do you think, I was working with this person. Anyway, the point is I said I'm an energy reader. That just fell out of my mouth. I don't know.
Thank you, Juliet Lewis. This is Dana Knight from South by Southwest for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.